Hello, welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I'm Alyssa Riccobono, and I'm here with
Anil Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, our Nation's
virtually.
Blind Podcast listening audience.
Yes, hello. We haven't been with you for a while. I've missed you. I don't know if Anil's missed you. I've
Oh,
missed Anil, though.
absolutely.
How are you,
Absolutely.
Anil?
I've missed you all. I've been fine. So no
Good.
complaints on this side. And
Good.
yourself?
I have been fine. We are just trying to gear up for school. So right before I recorded, I'm recording this episode with you, I was downloading software on the new laptops we got for our two girls for school
Fun
and
stuff.
having them practice their typing and also having them practice math facts to kind of get them in the groove of the school year. And then September 8th, we start. Goodness only knows what that schedule's like. So I am reminding myself to take very deep breaths and to give myself a little grace and give them a little grace the first few days of school, because I cannot imagine it's going to be all smooth sailing for a little while.
Oh
But
no, it's going to
anyway,
be
that's
smooth
how we
sailing. It's
are.
going to be smooth sailing. We're all learning how to do old things in new ways, and
That's right.
we're going to weather through it. And one of the well, the topic of this podcast is talking about us doing old things in new ways, and a very
Yeah.
important thing it is, and that's voting.
Yeah,
Now, are you
absolutely.
registered to vote, Melissa?
I am absolutely registered to vote. Are you?
Oh yes, absolutely. I'm registered to vote in Maryland now. For, many years I was registered to vote in Georgia. And even when I first
Oh.
started working here, because I was thinking I was going to return to Georgia, I didn't get registered to vote here in Maryland until about 2 years as a resident. So I was still voting as a Georgia resident back in Georgia. I would fly back home and cast my
Oh,
ballot, and then I
wow.
would fly back. Yeah.
Wow, that's really dedicated.
It's called commitment. Yeah, because I'm
Yeah.
committed to this
Yeah.
process because, if you don't vote,
Yeah.
you don't count.
That's absolutely right. And my dad and mom actually really instilled that. And I mean, I think that's probably true for a lot of people, but I clearly remember going to the polling place with my dad and my mom. And this was back in the day when you actually, cranked a crank to shut the curtain and you
Yeah.
pulled different levers. And my parents actually let me feel all of that. My mom let
Oh,
me pull
nice.
levers for her. It was really, really cool. My mom would tell me who she voted for. My dad would say, "None of your business." But
A
it was
truly
very
private
important,
ballot
actually.
there. Yeah.
That's right. And so, actually, it's very funny because the first time I ever voted, I actually went with my dad. And this was back in the day when, we couldn't vote independently as blind people. So he read me my ballot, I think, which is very interesting to me since he is so into, making sure
Your
that he had a
privacy.
private ballot, but it was okay
Yeah.
for him to read me mine.
Yeah.
So,
He had two ballots that
anyway.
year. He could vote twice with no.
Well,
I'm
let's hope he
sure.
didn't, but
No. Your dad
yeah,
had
he could have.
integrity, I'm
And
sure.
I'm actually really glad it wasn't a presidential election because my dad and I had pretty different politics.
There you
And
go.
I'm really glad that that we never had to go there
So how do
by
you
the time the
compare? How do you compare that experience to actually finally being able to vote without your dad's assistance? Do you
Oh
remember how
my
that felt?
goodness. I mean, it was incredible. So the very first time I believe that I or the first time I really remember, I'm fairly sure it was 2008 for the presidential election. And I mean, that was just historic in so many ways. It was such an election. And I had Austin, our son, on my back. He was about almost 2 years old, and we had to stand in line for a while. And someone was selling Girl Scout cookies, and I was so
Oh,
grateful because
nice.
Austin was getting a little really crabby. But I bought cookies, and he was
Oh,
all good. He was all extremely happy, and he kept telling people in line. He kept saying the candidate that I was going to vote for, and I thought, there's no private ballot here.
that's who he was voting for, you know.
That, well, I guess so. But anyway, I got there to the machine and I put on the headphones, and Austin actually fell asleep. Too much sugar. He had this sugar rush and he fell asleep. And so I just sat there or stood there and voted. And I remember thinking, oh, I should really hurry up. And then I thought, you know what? This is the first time I can go back and independently check my ballot and make sure it's marked in the way that I want it marked. I'm going to take as darn long as I want. And so I stood there and I reviewed my ballot, and it was just an incredible feeling.
So the machines you used first had the earphones and you just scroll through the menus and select.
Correct.
Was it the one with like the telephone keypad?
Yes, I believe that is correct.
Nice.
And I think it took a little while for the polling workers to figure out how to use it, you know, kind of the normal, what you would expect kind of thing. Because that never seems to be, you know, right out there. But I was able to do it, which I was extremely excited about.
Yeah. And it's interesting now, to some degree, we're taking that for granted and people don't recognize the hard work that the National Federation of the Blind put forth in order to make sure that blind people could cast a private independent ballot. Then the Help America Vote Act and the passage of that particular piece of legislation has really created the opportunity for us to really exercise that fundamental right that every American citizen has and should take advantage of.
Oh, it's so important. So important. And I mean, just the thought that we didn't really have that right until, you know, middle of the 2000s is just amazing to me to look back on. And I think that's just some of the work that we should be the most proud of. I mean, we are really making a difference and continue to make a difference in democracy for blind people.
So we're going to share some other voting experiences from some of our individuals before we queue up our resident expert in accessible voting. We're going to be talking with Lou Ann Blake, the Director of Research Program for the National Federation of the Blind, about voting. And hopefully this will encourage and empower all of our listeners to go out and exercise their right. So we'll be right back. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
We've been citizens all our life, but as blind people, we couldn't have the privacy and independence that most voters take for granted, and now we can. And so I have a special appreciation of it.
My first voting experience as a blind person was not that thrilling. I had to break down and get help in the booth for my vote, and I did not like that.
That was really liberating, even though the system was really kind of hokey and cumbersome to use. That was still one of the most satisfying things that I can think of, because I finally felt like I was actually doing, you know, what everybody else does, and with the same type of access, you know, being able to change it and being able to read it and being able to, you know, look at the options and, you know, just having that full 100% experience. So I found it very, very liberating.
It was very embarrassing, very difficult. I kind of felt a little bit, I would say, not the same as any ordinary citizen. Felt pretty bad about it. Terrible.
For the first time in my entire life, I was able to vote independently, listening to the person that read the ballot, and was able to cast my vote.
And I remember the first time voting on that machine. It felt like victory. It felt like freedom. It felt like I really belonged.
Wow, what a great clip. That clip is from a Help America Vote Act video that the National Federation of the Blind created. And if you'd like to see that whole video, you can do so by finding the link in our show notes. So yeah. I love hearing people's experiences of voting.
Yeah, it does make it real. And it's only real because of the hard work of the Federation. And we continue to make sure that blind people have the right to a private, independent, accessible ballot through a grant that we have with the federal government to support our works under the Help America Vote Act. And the person who coordinates that is our Director of Research Programs, Ms. Lou Ann Blake, and she's joined us on the Nation's Blind Podcast. How are you, Lou Ann?
I'm good. Thank you, Anil. Thank you for having me on. It's nice to be with you both.
I'm glad you're able
to
take a break because you've been extremely busy in this climate of voting. It seems like you're having conversations about voting with voting election officials and our members on a regular basis now.
Oh, that's for sure. You know, and actually, just before we recorded this podcast, I was on a call with Kentucky, our Kentucky affiliate and Disability Rights Kentucky. And I've been on so many different calls with so many different states, I kind of have to stop and think, okay, now what state is this that I'm talking with right now?
Wow. Yeah.
I know
the feeling.
Yeah. It's all starting to run together.
So, Leanne, why don't you start by letting our listeners know the different ways? I mean, we were talking earlier, what are the different ways that a person can vote, and what are those accessible features that allows us as blind individuals to vote independently?
Sure. So there's a couple of different ways or accessible ways that a blind voter can vote privately and independently. One of those, of course, is the traditional in-person voting at your local polling place or early voting center. You know, with COVID, things have changed a little bit. In many states, they've kind of reduced the number of polling places that are open to try and limit, you know, exposure, the risk of exposure. But that option is still available. And so there has to be at least one accessible ballot marking device in each polling location. So that's an option. And there's also many states now, not all states, but thanks to the advocacy of the National Federation of Blind, that the list of states that provide an accessible way to vote absentee has grown substantially within the last few months.
Let's break down, before you transition to the absentee piece, the in-poll voting on the machines. Is that just limited to just blind people to use those machines?
No, actually anyone can use those machines, and we encourage all voters to actually use those machines. And there's a really good, important reason why voters without disabilities should use those machines. And that's because many of those accessible ballot marking devices produce a ballot that looks different in size and content from the hand-marked ballot. So to ensure that blind voters actually have a secret ballot, it's really important that voters without disabilities also use those machines, so that if there is, for example, a contest where, you know, they have to do a recount and they take the ballots out of the ballot box, they can't
pick all the blind ballots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's very important.
And you know, it's interesting. I have a friend who's sighted, and she actually came to my house for dinner a while back after she voted. And she said, "Oh my goodness, you know, the print is so small on the ballot." And again, she's totally sighted. And she said, my eyes were tired. I was trying to make sure I was marking the right place. And there were all these seniors around me. And I was looking at them thinking, if I'm only in my 40s and I'm having all this trouble, how are they marking their ballots? And so then I shared with her, "Oh yeah, you can use the touchscreen." And she said, "I had no idea. I'm going to do that next time." But I mean, really, the touchscreen machine is supposed to be, I mean, it's there for a reason, not just for blind people, but it can really make voting easier for all kinds of people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's actually other advantages to having all voters use the ballot marking device. With those machines, you can't overvote a contest. It will give you a warning. So you can't overvote. And if you undervote a contest, now some states will let you undervote a contest, but it'll let you know that too, you know, in case you missed a contest.
It's like you've only voted for one person when you can vote for two.
And exactly.
Yeah. Nice.
Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, so if you, you know, if you're hand marking a ballot, it's very easy to overvote a contest, and then you have to start all over again, you know, because you can't use that, the tabulator won't accept that ballot.
Wow.
So there's a lot of advantages to using the
ballot. Why would anyone not want to use this machine? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah. Exactly.
I agree with you.
Talking about the absentee ballot. That's when I get a ballot mailed to my house and I get my friend or neighbor to come over and fill it out for me.
Well, that's the way it used to be in many states, and unfortunately, there still are some states where that's the only way that you can vote absentee. But fortunately, there are a number of electronic ballot delivery systems that are available now that are accessible.
What does that mean, the electronic
ballot? Yeah, so what happens, there's a couple of different ways it works. One is you access the ballot on a website. And the other is it's an HTML ballot that gets emailed to the voter. So there's a couple of ways that can be done.
So I use my computer at home to fill it out.
Exactly. Your computer and whatever access technology you use, be it a screen reader, a refreshable braille display, screen magnification, you know, sip and puff, whatever.
Wow.
Nice. And then you print it out And there's generally, if I'm remembering correctly, at least in Maryland, there's a specific way that you have to mail it back so that they know it's you, like you have to sign the envelope or something like that. So each state would have different directions. So, you know, I think that's the important thing, is making sure that you follow those directions.
Yeah, that's right. And there are instructions with each of these systems and with the ballot. Most states require you to print it out and send it in regular mail. There are a couple of states that permit the ballot to be returned as an email attachment. And oh, wow. We've been working to encourage more states to permit that. And hopefully one day, you know, that'll be a more common way to return the ballot. But right now, most of them require you to print the ballot out. There usually is a signature page or you sign the envelope.
And all of your advocacy that you've been doing, what have you seen has been the biggest challenge to providing accessible voting opportunities for blind people across the country?
Well, there's a number of challenges. And it depends on what type of voting you're talking about. So at the polling place, poll workers who aren't trained properly or continue to be a problem. A blind voter shows up at the polling place and the system is not set up and the poll workers don't know how to set up. You know, I got email from a voter in Georgia, a member of ours in Georgia, who had to wait over 4 hours before he was finally able
to. That's why the resources we offer through our Harvard project. I know that when I went to, again, voting in Georgia, I knew the machines about the card because we were using a D-Bowl at the time. Mm-hmm. And being pre-armed with that knowledge before I went to the poll, you're right, a lot of poll workers don't understand. So when they were checking me in, and they were talking about what ballot card I need, I made sure I told them I need the audio ballot because they were just giving me a regular card, which wouldn't work in the machine. Mm-hmm. And I knew that the keyboard had to be plugged into the actual machine. The voters didn't know. So, being aware as a voter as to what those particular systems require in order for them to be accessible is really helpful to know from the beginning.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've had that same experience myself. But, you know, a lot of blind voters, they don't know what the poll workers have to do and they can't tell them what they have to do, you know. So they end up, you know, waiting for the voter, you know, for the poll workers to figure it out. And frequently they do. But, you know, it's just extra time they have to spend that, you know, other voters don't have to.
I know that we've had a hotline in the past where voters could call and tell their experiences, or I believe also get advice for, you know, the different machines and that type of stuff. Are we planning to have that for this election coming up, or is there another way that people, when they do vote, can give feedback so that we know both good and bad experiences so we can really try to make this experience as smooth as possible going forward?
Yeah, so for the presidential elections, we do have a hotline that blind voters can call. Also, poll workers call the hotline. I've actually talked to poll workers to help them.
Nice.
Help them figure out how to get the machine working, you know? So that should be available again for this upcoming election. We do that as one of the activities under our HAVA grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, along with the survey, the blind voter survey that we do after the election. So,
tell us about the survey.
So we've been doing this survey for every presidential election since 2008 and for a number of the midterm elections as well. And we've been asking... We've been consistent with the questions that we've been asking over the years, so we can kind of look at the trends of what the blind voter experience has been over the years.
Nice.
We will, of course, continue to do that this year. We'll probably add a couple of questions related to COVID and then probably some questions related to accessible absentee voting as well. Yeah.
So, Luann, Melissa shared with us earlier her first experience voting independently. Do you recall your first experience?
I don't know if I recall my first, but I do recall an experience, and it's similar to what you talked about, Anil. It was using the D-Bowl machine here in Maryland, and that's an accessible, one of the old accessible, what they call DRE, direct recording electronic machines.
Right.
So it didn't print out a paper ballot. It just saved your ballot onto a hard drive. So with that machine, the voters had to code the card that you put in to the machine, and they had to check a box to enable the audio ballot. And so when I showed up at the polling place, I told them I wanted to use the audio ballot and that they needed to check the box. And I could tell by the reaction of the poll worker that she didn't know what I was talking about. Wow. Wow. So when I put the card in the machine, of course, the audio ballot didn't start.
Talk. Yeah.
And so I, again, you know, told them what I wanted them to, what they needed to do. And, but, you know, the response was, well, you know, do you want to use the touchscreen? And, you know, I think this is a question that a number of blind voters get when the poll workers don't know how to activate the audio ballot of the machine. And, you know, so my response was, no, I want to use the audio ballot, and this is what you have to do to enable the audio ballot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think the lesson is that you have to be patient, you have to be polite, mm-hmm. but you have to continue to insist that you want to use the audio ballot and let them figure it out. And usually they can. Sometimes, unfortunately, it takes them a while. Like
they used to have a book
in Georgia.
The first time I had, they had to go look it up. There's a book right there. They have
exactly.
that they can look. Yeah.
Yeah. Or call the tech support line or whatever. Yeah. You know. But you know, you have. You know, we have to remember that we have the right to vote privately and independently, and you know, we should not. We should not have to give that right up, and we should not be expected to give that right up, you know, because
Absolutely.
No one else has to.
Well, and it's really important too. The one time I voted very recently, independently, the poll worker wanted to take my ballot to put it in the scanner and or the feeder. I don't remember what it was, a scanner or a, you know, to count it. I don't remember
tabulator.
Exactly what part it was, a tabulator. And I was really incensed, and I said, no, I'd like to keep that private. That's my ballot. And, you know, they were, oh, well, I'm just trying to help you. And it's like, would you want someone no.
Step off.
Just tell me where to put it. I can put it in there.
Exactly.
So I think it's important.
Exactly.
It's important.
Yep.
I just want to make sure I get my sticker. I like to wear my I voted sticker on my forehead. I love doing that. Gotta get my voted sticker.
I'm sure that looks very good on your forehead.
Yes. there you go. Well, we appreciate you being with us and sharing.
Well,
absolutely.
Yes,
Melissa,
I'm sorry.
I think the big thing to take away from this is, you know, the National Federation of the Blind, of course, we are a 501c3, a nonprofit. We do not endorse any candidate. We don't care who you vote for. We just really want to make sure that blind Americans take the opportunity and get out and vote and know that it's possible. So I don't know, Luann, if you have anything else to add about that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's how we make our voice heard, or one of the ways that we make our voice heard. You know, as members of the National Federation of Blind, we make our voices heard in a number of ways. But this is a way that everybody who's eligible to vote can certainly make their voice heard. And you know, whatever candidate it is you're voting for. So it's really important.
Well, thanks, Luann, for joining us. A lot of helpful information. Appreciate you sharing that. I'm going to take a minute to get some more information about how and why it's so important to vote. Remember, you're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Attention all blind people age 18 and older. The National Federation of the Blind wants you to vote this fall. The November 2020 general election may be one of the most important elections ever to take place in the United States. It is critical that all blind and low vision Americans make our voices heard. You can do this by casting your vote using an accessible ballot marking device at a voting center during the early voting period or at your local polling place on election day. In an increasing number of jurisdictions, you can also use an accessible electronic ballot delivery system to mark your ballot using a computer or smartphone with access technology right from your home or office If you're not already registered to vote, you can register by completing your state's online voter registration form or the accessible National Mail Voter Registration Form located on the Election Assistance Commission website. You can also get your paper voter registration form from your state or local election office, your public library, or other government offices. You can even register to vote when you obtain or renew your state identification card. For additional information about how to register to vote and how to vote as a blind person, check out the Guide for Blind and Low Vision Voters on the National Federation of the Blind website, www.nfb.org. The website also has a guide to help affiliates and chapters hold voter registration drives. To help plan your affiliate or chapter registration drive or help with issues related to accessible voting, call Lou Ann Blake, Principal Investigator for our Help America Vote Act grant from the United States Department of Health and Human Services at 410-659-9314, extension 2221, or email her at lblake@nfb.org. Finally, after you have voted in the 2020 general election, don't forget to complete our Blind Voter Survey. This will be linked from our homepage starting October 6th, 2020. Making our voices heard is one of the most important ways we can ensure that we can live the lives we want. Get registered, get ready, and vote.
I love Kevin Worley. You know, you can tell he's a former radio guy.
With that great radio voice.
Radio voice. Yes, definitely. So, Anil, everybody else told a story. I told a story about voting. Luann told a story about voting. What's your story about the first time you voted independently?
I have a story about voting independently. I remember when I went blind at 25, I had already voted independently as a sighted person. So it's amazing how you take stuff like that for granted. But the first time I went to the polls, I went with my mom. And that was a very kind of demeaning experience, needing your mother to do something as basic as voting. But, you know, I weathered through that. And then the next time I went, I said I was going to do it by myself. And I ended up having a poll worker help me. And I left with some insecurity as to whether they actually voted the way I wanted them to. And they also read the ballot wrong. One of the referendums they were reading was talking about marine tax. But they made it sound like it was money to help the Marines rather than people who own boats. So I remember we advocated in Georgia to get fully accessible voting. 2002, all the machines in the state had the Debo units. And I remember going to that polling place and going in there and casting my ballot using that technology. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't think it would be such a big deal, but I mean, I smiled from the point where I started voting to when I slapped that I voted sticker on my forehead. I mean, it was just such a liberating experience. I just loved it. So I'm hoping that everybody, you know, it's not as joyous, but it's still a joyful exercise. But I hope everybody takes advantage of the machines that we have out there to cast their independent vote. But even if you don't, even if you're not going to go and learn how to use these machines, which are really simple to use, even if you're not going to take advantage of an accessible way of voting absentee, whatever it takes to vote, if you need your mom to do it, if you need that poll worker to do it, whatever it takes for you to get out there and vote, we need you to get out there and vote.
That's right. And there's no shame in that. You can. I think that's one thing that we didn't talk about, but you by law have the right to take someone of your choice into the voting booth to help you mark your ballot. And it did not used to be that way. And so that's another thing that the National Federation of the Blind, I think before we worked on accessible machines and things, before the technology was there, I believe that that's also a law that we worked on hard. I could be wrong about that, but I can't imagine that was not something that we were behind in some way, because it used to be you had to have a poll worker. And I mean, when you were talking about the poll worker reading the ballot wrong, I remember one time I voted and there was this, you know, very elderly poll worker. And every time I told the poll worker who I wanted to vote for.
Most of them are, but thank God they're out there though. But go ahead.
No, I totally agree. But this one, you know, every time, you know, you want Mr. Smith? Yes, I do. What? Yes. Yes, I do. And it was so embarrassing. It was not private. And it was very wow. difficult. Yes. So the next time, I think I took a person with me that I knew, you know, could and that whisper. Was a little bit easier.
You took someone you
right,
knew
who could whisper.
Right, yes,
who could whisper, yeah. yes. Anyway, it was. I can laugh wow. now. At the time, I was probably five shades
very
of red.
Irritated, and, I'm sure.
Okay, everybody yeah. knows that I'm voting for Mr. Smith.
Wow.
Here I am, takes, Melissa Riccobono.
Even if it, you have to get the loud poll worker, whatever it takes, get out there and vote. And help continue to help
That's
us
right.
advocate for accessible voting. You would think that in this time, this day and age, when it's deemed possible and so many tools are out there to make it possible that it would not be a problem, but we're still having significant struggles in making sure that blind people across the country have the right to an independent private ballot. So please help us in our advocacy efforts to continue this good work that we're doing.
That's right. There's more information at nfb.org/vote, and I believe there's even possibly going to be some help getting transportation for people to get to the polls if they need
yeah,
that.
Our
and,
Lyft,
I mean, so
our
be
Lyft
on the lookout for all of those
again.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So if you need help getting to the polls, if you need transportation, contact your local affiliate president, and I'm sure that we'll have coupons available to help offset that expense. We don't want any quote-unquote poll tax. We want everybody to have the ability yep. to, regardless of financial circumstance, to get out there and cast their vote. Yeah. And thank goodness that Lyft has been a good partner in helping us meet that particular need as well.
Definitely. And then after you do cast your vote, please make sure you fill out the survey. It will be at nfb.org. It'll probably be up there by October 6th or so, but just be on the lookout. Go to nfb.org. Make sure that you fill out the survey because, again, we need experiences, both good experiences and not so good ones. So mm-hmm. don't just think, oh, it was fine. You know, I voted. It was smooth. We need to know that, too. So please take that little bit of time and fill out the survey. It'll really help us going forward.
We're hoping that all of you paid strict attention to all of the information that was being shared today, and we hope that it motivated you to make sure that not only you get out and vote, but encourage your friends and family members all to get out and vote as well. And if you can't do it yourself, tell them to tune in to the Nation's Blind Podcast and let Melissa and I and Luann motivate them to do so.
That's right. And, you know, please, we'd love to hear your voter stories or any comments that you have. We're always happy to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook by searching for National Federation of the Blind.
Mm-hmm. You can find us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @NFB_voice.
And then you can also get us the old-fashioned way. Call 410-659-9314, extension 2444.
And you can drop us an email at podcast@nfb.org. You've been listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. And remember, you can live the life you want and you can vote the way you want.
Blindness is not what holds you back.